Feeling-driven.
Willpower.
Welcome to another Willpower episode, and we are here today to introduce you Raffaella Giometrante, who is an engineer and general manager of Caima SRL, based in Trieste, Italy. The company was born as a spin-off of Electrosync Crotone when there was a necessity of building the Fermi-free electron laser, and is a recognized industrial company fully focused on the design, manufacturing and commissioning of permanent magnet devices. Hello, yes. Raffaella. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for asking me to be here with you and have this night interview together.
Thank you. So let's start this podcast together. And my first question is, in the interview for Women and Science by Women and Tech, you refer to a question you asked yourself before starting your engineering studies, which was, this engineer that I really like, won't it be for men? So you actually didn't give yourself an answer, but you let it slip away. How did you do that?
But I did that because I realized that that was not the correct and the right question to be asked. You know, when you want to solve a problem, the most important thing is to ask yourself the right question. And so that was not the right question, because it's not a question of being men, women, or whatever. It's a question about what you are passionate about, what you really like, what you would like to do as soon as you wake up in the morning, and to dedicate that hours of your life and lots of efforts and lots of satisfaction. So this is the question that you should ask to yourself. So when I realized that this was exactly what I was passionate to, I decided that it was a good choice for me. And also I realized that somehow people talk about talent and about having talent. And I would like to underline at least what is talent for me. Talent is exactly the passion that you have. So the willingness to really spend hours and days and years on a subject, getting to that subject, in that topic, or really understand it well. And at that moment, you somehow gain what people see as a talent. But talent is something that you gain in lots of effort. So you have to be ready to do it, and possibly with great satisfaction and, how can I say, with a very positive attitude. It doesn't have to be a sacrifice or something like that, because this is something you're going to do for a long time. So when I simply change my question and I say, okay, but let's skip that, because let's keep the question about men, women. I was 19. I didn't know about that. And the second question was, but really what I would like to do in my life. So I said, okay, this is what I would like to do. And this is what I did. So this is how I managed to solve this first, step into a very scientific, technological world.
Right. Well, in my opinion, I think that it doesn't really be necessary to be women or men, but I think that sometimes we should listen more, as you said, to our passions, our talents, to follow and boost a career and a life which is happier, sane, and satisfying for us. Because as you said, to wake up in the morning and do something which is not a sacrifice and be happy and continue what we like in the better way, of course.
It's not so easy, in the sense that the real problem, I guess one of the problems in life, is really to understand this, to really stop a little for a while and thinking what you really desire, what you really want to do. So I think this is a question that everybody should somehow think about and pose to really address the life in the most satisfactory, let's say, or meaningful way.
Mm-mm. That's true, absolutely. So talking about statistics in women in STEM, I think in this world especially, we still have only few women who are part of it, and who are given prominence. Why do you think this gender gap still exists nowadays, and how can we fight it, and which could be a valid solution accordingly to your experience in this sector?
So the point of a gender gap is something that is exists. I mean, you can see it everywhere. You can see the statistics, you can see the numbers. But we have also to understand that it's something we are focusing on just recently. So we need some time to work on that and to change all the bias that we have, and our bias coming from 1,000 years. So, I mean, if you think that we are starting to change our approach to this gender gap, or even talking about gender gap in the recent years, I think that the reason why there are still, it is still there, is because of that. Said that, I mean, I think that we still should work a lot on that, and everybody should be aware of this problem. But once again, it's not, from my point of view, a question of be equal. It's a question of being smart. Because if you just consider half of the population to do some, let's say, top managerial or decision-making position, having this kind of position, you're wasting 50% of the talent of the population. So it's not smart at all. I really believe it's important to have a wider range of people to get in and to be chosen, of course, because they have talent, they have passion and everything. But I mean, just making this decision over selection of the 50% of the population is really a pity. And I believe that there's lots of improvement that we can do at the level of the system. And there's lots of work that we should do about that, and lots of ideas. First of all, there's women, they are in the 50s, 60s, and probably they went through, as much as I did, a series of difficulties. And somehow we were capable to manage that, and it was definitely worth it. So I think that one of the things that we could do is to somehow give feedbacks to the younger generation getting into this kind of career because they like it, and giving them some instruction or some advices, or just show our story, just to understand what can we do better and how some problems can be avoided. There are associations, fantastic associations like Women in Technologies, women like Gianna Martinengo, Maria Rita Fiasco, who are constantly working on that, creating movement of skilled, talented people, women, and enthusiasts of that, and willing somehow to give their contribution in a world in which women and men can work very well together, aware of the fact that each is bringing something into the project, the business, or the decision. So I think that this is the general picture. Then you can go into detail, and you can do lots of many other things. We can talk even later. But I mean, as a general statement, I would say that this is a very, very important position taken by people, association, women, trying to find out a way to make the life of a younger generation better.
Well, yeah, I completely agree. I think that the transmission of like a work, of a passion, is a way to intrigue other women. Like as you said, receiving feedbacks and gave feedbacks is a way to intrigue other young women or women around the world that want to achieve something and they want to go maybe in the same path and same career as you and other women done in the STEM. So I think that pass on the message is one of the best way and solution we can provide. So thank you for this amazing.
You know, there are critical. We know that there are critical points in this field. So, but one critical point is at the high school. So there's women, young women, girls, who people should not think that this is for men or women. So the first big lesson is don't care about that. Follow what is you're passionate about. And there is another critical point. On this first point, there's lots of teaching and advices that people that went through that can give. A second critical point is when women, especially I'm talking about women, because in their 20s, 30s, and they have talent, they have skills, they are educated, they have great ideas. In a certain moment, they decided to have a family. That is, it doesn't have to be a choice between one career or being the family. So we as a system, I'm talking here, should somehow support this critical point. And there's lots of ideas, and I would like somehow to bring also my, learning what I learn into that, and I would like to develop some projects on that, this is my dream, this is something I would like to do. So I think there are some critical points. We already know that, and we could do a lot as a system on these in this particular two difficult moment.
I would like to connect my next question to what you just said, Rafaela, because we know that at some point in women's lives, many of us often find themselves having to choose whether to fulfill their career or to dedicate themselves to their family. In your case, besides being a well-known engineer, I know you're also the mother of two teenagers. So how did you manage to combine these two paths? Did you think you have ever been penalized for these? And what could be some initiatives to incentivize and encourage the future career mothers, that all these is possible?
Okay, so what I did was something like that. I have my degree, mechanical engineer, and then I spent some time in the States. I went back, I have my PhD, and I have the delivery of my PhD thesis, more or less with a deadline of the delivery of my first son. So it was already something a little bit crazy about that. I was lucky at that time because I was somehow thinking about having a university career. So I could manage to have my first young kid and then the second daughter because I could manage somehow the time. And the main point for me was not about, how much money or how much I can do about that in those months. I can understand that it was not always so easy. My main point was to keep a foot in the working environment. So I think that this should be the way in which everybody should try to do it. First of all, I would like to say that having kids and working is not easy, and it's a choice that you have to make because you really enjoy it. If a woman wants to stay at home and decided to stay with the kids, it's as good as going back to work. It's not something that you have to do. But in the moment in which you decide to say, okay, I invested so much, I really would like to go ahead in that, you should be able to keep, as I said, a foot in your working environment, especially when it comes to technology and science that can develop quite fast. So in my case, I had a contract with a university that gave me the possibility to do that and to, keep on working. In a sort of a very early smart working, because I didn't have to stay at the university in a certain hours, or in generally I was staying there in the morning, I could somehow manage my time and working also at home. So this helped me a lot, and I have to say that this was something a very how can I say, a fortune for me. I was very lucky about that. I do not know how much I realized that in the beginning. So on that, I really feel that if a woman wants to stay into, keep on going in the career, should think about that. How can I keep my office of my interest into that? And this is a personal, let's say, approach, and should be somehow managed during the years, and with the possibility to come back. On the other side, I have to say that our system, especially in Italy or in specific areas, are not very easy, in the sense that a part-time job is not very appreciated, is not seen as the best choice. But I have to say that if there is a positive thing about this COVID situation, because we have also to think also about positive situation and positive feedback, is that we learn that smart working exists and can, be the case to be, right now we have to do it. Sometimes we do not have a choice, but we can learn, and we learn that we can do it. And for example, this could be a good tool that we can keep once we're gonna go back to normal life, because for sure we're gonna go back to normal life, because I don't know when, if this year, next year, I do not know the future, but I'm sure that this will be, we will go back. And we can bring in our next normal life something that we learn here. And I think that smart working, for example, could be a very good tool that the system can apply to help women to be in contact with working and technological life. And once you are ready, because you have the time to, you go back. And women that go back to work are so happy, enthusiastic about that, that they are very, I'm sure that they are willing to give everything to their job because they really want to do it. So I think that this could be an option. As I said, in the beginning, when it happens to me, I was not aware. I was very lucky, and somehow I was able to manage that. Right now, but I understood that that is the key point. I think that we should keep it in mind as a personal attitude and as a system. So this could be a very important key on which we can do a lot. I mean, also as association, as women, a project, as many other things that we can do together.
Yeah, I was talking with another young woman who is working in business, and actually she was giving us kind of same points of view about what's happening right now, that from like a negative situation, we should take the positive things. And one of the positive things that we can see exactly is smart working, that especially here in Italy was like something really hidden and something that companies didn't really like that much. But right now is a tool, as you said, that probably we can still apply in the future to help, firstly, like women and mothers to do their job and be mothers, but also can a way to be more productive and a way for us to learn something new and to open our like mindset that since now was a bit like maybe straight. So I think that it could be a really great solution as well to apply for women who wants to continue their career path, but also be mothers and be involved in the family system.
Yeah, I think also another good point is also the idea of the family, in which, I mean, also being a father is becoming an important point. So I think that once again, I'm talking about Italy, but I'm sure we're going to be better and better. If you have an issue in your family, let's say that a grandmother, grandfather is not perfectly well, generally it's pretty natural that a woman is taking care of that. Or if there is, I don't know, your son has a flu and you stay at home. So I think that also on this, there are steps that we can do forward. And I'm sure that there are lots of men. I see my younger colleagues. They are really nice father and willing to support their wife or whatever, fiancé, whatever it is in there. And I think that this is another great point, and I see it more and more often, and I really like it, because this is a good way in which you can allow everybody to keep on going ahead and having your family, and also, if you want, having your satisfaction from your job and your work.
Right, that's completely true. And what does it mean for you to be a woman who not only works in the technological and scientific field, but who also holds the role of a director of such a great company in a country like in Italy and internationally as well? Have you ever felt a victim of a gender bias, or have you ever encountered any difficulties during your studies and career path because you are a woman?
Yeah, let's say that the big difference I saw was in the university, because I spent a period here and a period there. And United States are, how can I say, really something special, because you know that you are evaluated for your work, what you are doing, and for your contribution. So that is the main point. You are higher in a laboratory, and the director is somehow responsible of this. So, I mean, at that point, he or she really would like to have the best people around, because they have to achieve some results, and they have to be founded and everything. So particularly during the 90s. The Italian university in those years was a little bit slower and linked to old mechanism. And moreover, in those years, the Italian university was having less and less money. There were a lot of problems also in managing research. But despite that, I went back to Italy, but after some years at university, I understood that this mechanism at the university, at least for me, was a little bit slow. And this is why I decided to submit my CV for this free electron laser project in Trieste. So the mechanism are very different, were very different. In these years, I think that university made huge steps and things are really changing. I see lots of very good group of people with young students doing very well. And once again, in this moment, I do not see in the young generation a problem. For sure, there is a gender gap in the sense that in STEM faculties, there are more men than women. But I'm very confident this will go ahead better and better. The point is that still there are numbers discussing with women working at the university. We are saying that anyhow, at the moment, if you check the number of professor related to the number of men or women, still the percentage is very towards men. So there's lots of things that should be done. But as I said, I think that the young generation is really a huge resource, and they will grow up and make the change. We need some time about that, and also people, let's say, keep on having an eye on that and interest and attention on this and willingness to change the situation.
So about like this kind of numbers that you're bringing out, I would like to speak right now about the Nobel Prize for the science. Because speaking on that and referring to the Nobel Prize of 2020, what effective recognition do you feel that the press and the world has given to the women participating and the women who actually won the Nobel Prizes of last year?
But I mean, I was very happy. I also exchanged with you some numbers. And so there are 57 Nobel Prize given to women since from 1901 and 28 just in the last 20 years. So things, that, I mean, numbers are saying things are changing. And the Nobel Prizes are, there are between chemistry and physics, there are three women. And I checked their, they were born between 61 in 64, 65 and 68. So this means that that generation is starting to have recognition. And I think this is great. Great. I have to say that I'm on LinkedIn and I'm connected to the different labs with Berkeley, with Stanford or MIT, because of course we have our network. And I can tell you that those laboratories where these women are, where they were so proud, they gave out this in fantastic news explaining how fantastic this women were. So it was really a nice feedback that we receive also from the institution. So I was very happy to hear about that and how this news, this interest was, proposed in the, on the social media. In this case, I know about LinkedIn, but probably also another way they somehow supported their women in a very proud way. So this is definitely something very important. Also for the young generation, I mean, we have to think about that these are the people who will make the future and probably will have a better future. I'm pretty sure they will do much better what we have been doing right now. So
in terms of this future generation you really care about and you talk in a such a positive and confident way, what advice would you give to a young woman who would like to approach the technological and scientific field, but maybe she's intimidated by gender prejudice?
Yeah. So, I mean, we talk about the system, what the system can do, but there's lots you can do as a person. And the first thing I say to any woman is to sit at the table, raise your hand, and know and be aware that your ideas deserve to be listened and to be shared. So we have, and we can change our attitude. I mean, in a very nice, I'm not saying that you have to attack and go there, in a very nice and polite way, without, I mean, compromising any kind of relation, but be aware of that you have something that deserve to be listened and to be sure. And it's not always easy because lots of time there's lots of interruption, but in a very respectful way, you can say, listen, I'm not finished. I did not finish. I have something else to say. So, I mean, we have also to be aware of that because, as you said, we, and this is something I learned. I mean, I'm saying because when I was a young student or a young researcher, I really felt somehow intimidated by all this. But I realized at the end of the story that I could really say something that was at the same level or could be also a very good contribution or a different point of view as much as my colleagues. So my big advice is really sit at the table and raise your hand and speak up. This is definitely we have to keep in mind in any kind of situation in which we would like to give our contribution.
This is, and what I think as well is that we are value, and we only by raising up our hands that we can show our value and we can bring this exactly. value to our like work team, to our colleagues, to the world, to the entire world. So I think this is a great point and is a small but big step that all of us we should do.
And we can do it. And consider that sometimes when you are in a meeting, if you don't somehow try to do and to give your, express your idea, sometimes people even do not see you because it's somehow so busy in taking care of all the discussion that even the most sensitive people towards female condition, whatever, you are working there and you need some help and some support, and so you cannot take care of all the details. So it's very important for us to let them know that we are here and ready to, let's say, take our responsibility and be there giving our contribution.
Exactly. Is there anything you would like to add or something you would like to speak to conclude like our interview?
But I would like, I know that everybody do it, but you know, but I do it really with a very serious, I would like to thank you, because what you are doing and you with your efforts, and you are passionate about what you're doing, you believe into that, and seeing women like you trying to give the contribution in such a way, thinking about new ideas and putting things together, is essential to go on in this networking that we have. Also another advice, be able to do and to create a very nice and positive, constructive network between women to help us to work better and better with men and with the things that we are doing. And I think that things like you are doing and work jobs and interviewing and thinking about magazines in which to you can share idea and let the people discuss about that, I think it's a great initiative and a great way in which you give your contribution. So thank you. This is my the last part I would like to give here. Yeah, we have also to consider that life is not easy for everybody, men, women. You know, I would like to close this interview saying what the AC/DC says. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. So I think that this should be keep in mind anyhow. And don't be sorry about that. I mean, it's a huge challenge. There's a way in which you can test yourself. You can try to do it and you can do it. But I mean, it's not always easy. We know it's part of our job, but I think it's part of our life. And it's a way in which we should be, let's say, ready to work. And this is why I think we need really to share a positive attitude and thinking about what I can do about that. What is the thing I can do to leave a sign here? There is an Italian word, insegnare, that means teach. And comes from Latin, and it's leave a sign somehow, you know, teach and leave a sign of what you learn. I think that we should do it because, I mean, life is not easy, but it can be easier if we work together.
Okay. Thank you very much once again.
You can discover more inspiring and powerful stories at www.twinpower.co. Buy a membership to support our journalists and follow us on social media at Wimpower UK. Don't forget that together we empower women. My name is Amina Sofia Magrabi with a degree in political science and human rights. Thank you for listening to this Wimpower podcast. Until the next time.